Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Jim, we're going to reserve judgment, I guess. There's a lot of conservatives who are upset right now about what John Boehner suggested might be a major agreement on the debt ceiling with the White House. He says there's a 50-50 chance it could happen by, I guess, Saturday or Sunday. So a lot of people are holding their breath, given that many conservatives don't like the way the continuing resolution debate turned out. But we'll reserve judgment on that till next week or whenever there is an agreement. But one thing that I think we can agree on is the sentiment expressed on Thursday afternoon on the Senate floor by Wisconsin freshman Republican Senator Ron Johnson, who just teed off basically on the fact that this massive decision is being made under the cloak of darkness, essentially, because only a handful of people behind closed doors are even talking about it.
What does the financial future of America rest on? Some secret talks? Talks between a few individuals going on behind closed doors, far from the view of the American public. And rather than an orderly process where a plan is presented that can be viewed by the American public, that can be debated in open.
And here Johnson sums up what I think a lot of people think about this process.
Is that what's going to happen? Is that really how the financial fate of America is going to be decided? I mean, I personally find that process disgusting.
I think it's high time he and many other people are saying those sorts of things. I think Americans are disgusted by it. Apparently, the Obama transparency dodge on health care applies to major issues like the debt ceiling as well. And I think also it's behind closed doors when you have all these other members of Congress, Jim. I know you talk to them. I talk to them almost without fail. You ask them, well, what do you think about how the negotiations are progressing? And their first words are, well, I don't really know, but I hope it's going this way. Because, again, it's just these leadership figures in the room. And then these members, like Ron Johnson also said in a speech yesterday, the rank and file get about 24 to 48 hours to try and comb through a massive deal to determine whether or not this is the best way to chart America's financial future. That is insane. Good for Ron Johnson for pointing it out.
It is, and it really is kind of ominous that, you know, I'm one of those folks who would really like to avoid a disaster with the debt ceiling. I don't want the U.S. to default. On the other hand, I don't think that, you know, well, let's just raise it in a clean vote, as the president had wanted right. For much of the year, is a particularly a good solution either. The entire of does this massive, major, pressing crisis get resolved entirely depends on what's going on behind these negotiators. And the other thing is, Greg, deep down, you and I know, it's certainly not the president. And I'm not, you know, you got to wonder how much Boehner and Cantor and Pelosi and Reid and all these guys actually are involved. Chances are it's really the staffers who know the details of this. So we don't know what's going on in the room. They're going to come out with a deal. We don't know whether, you know, this is really going to be acceptable to the two parties. It all feels very precarious. And it's kind of like this isn't really the way policymaking is supposed to go on. Now, I remember the one time that Obama did try to hold himself to his all meetings will be, you know, open and on C-SPAN. We remember the grandstanding.
Sure.
And I remember Congresswoman Slaughter talking about the terrible denture recycling that was under the current health care. You know, like there's a reason they don't do these things in front of the cameras, because then everybody starts playing to the cameras and pounding the table and doing their impressions of Sam Waterston at the end of a episode of Law and Order. This is an outrage. How dare you? So I understand that sometimes you have to do closed door negotiations. But I think thinking of the scale, I mean, the idea that a couple of days ago, it looked like Obama really wasn't going to do much on entitlement reform. And now maybe there's some big entitlement reform. Maybe there isn't. Maybe it's only tinkering with the baseline. Boehner sounds like he wants to keep the hard line on tax increases. But now every once in a while, you get these kind of inklings of what's going on. We just don't know what the heck's going to come out of this process. And it's a very ominous thing, the idea of government by black box. Stuff goes in, stuff goes out. But how the sausage gets made, we don't know. And we don't know who's being reasonable, who's being unreasonable, who's drawing a hard line, we just don't have any information on this. And it just doesn't feel like this is what we were meant to do when we were set up as a republic.
And when they have these closed door meetings, they basically have these secrecy agreements. So even when they come out, they really can't say much or decide not to say much, except for President Obama, who, of course, tries to put the best possible face on it for himself. So,
well, you notice every one of them was good, substantive, productive talks.
Right.
And, traditionally, in diplomacy, the argument is if you hear a frank exchange of views, it generally means punches were thrown. It generally means negotiations went terribly wrong. So in a circumstance like this, every day, Obama's always going to come out and say they made progress.
And you kind of would like just one day from say, oh, really? If you're exact, you know, if this goes on forever, at some point you're not making progress.
Right. As long as we're on the subject of a complete lack of progress, let's move to martini number two, and that's the American job situation, unfortunately.
I had a feeling this was going to turn into the three ice water lunch pretty soon in the state of the economy. This is, you know.
I think you're probably right. We had gotten some relatively optimistic private sector job prognostications earlier in the week, which the markets responded to pretty well. The actual numbers, not at all. The Labor Department today reporting that the overall unemployment rate is now up to 9.2%. Only 18,000 jobs created in the month of June. That's about 100,000 below expectation. The president made a brief statement in the Rose Garden today, basically saying that if we just would put people back to work on infrastructure projects, we could really put a dent in this, which is kind of interesting coming from the guy who said that the shovel-ready projects weren't shovel-ready just a few weeks ago. It looks like, once again, unfortunately, the recovery summer two is the sequel is even worse than the original, which is usually the case with these things.
Yeah, you know, whenever it's almost become a tradition of the Obama administration in its last 2.5 and coming up on 3 years. That, you know, the first Friday of the month, or in certain cases like this month, it's the second Friday of the month, we get the monthly jobs report. For most months, it's been pretty, you know, disappointing. We had a couple months where it was going down by 1/10 of a percentage point for a while, but it really, we have not seen any month of really big job creation. Then the question is, you know, you see a certain amount of gallows humor, a certain amount of, you know, duh, recovery summer, or, well, that's just another bump in the road, or boy, you know, and you kind of get this sense that the gallows humor is getting darker. Fine person on the right who said that she cried when she saw the numbers today. I don't know if that's necessarily, you know, the reaction all of us need to have, but this was a thoroughly top to bottom, for lack of a better word, crappy jobs report, Greg. I mean, you know, the top line is that it went up 1/10 of another percentage point to 9.2%. Private sector job growth was much lower than expected. Wage isn't good. The labor force shrunk again by the neighborhood of like 200 and some thousand people. Greg, I look at that and I figure, okay, that's mass alien abductions again.
Right.
That's my best explanation as to why people are disappearing.
Right.
A bit more seriously, it means people are just dropping out of the labor force. There are people who lost their jobs a few years away from retirement who are basically wondering if they're ever going to work again. And, you know, Obama came out today and gave us pretty much what we kind of expected, the long litany of excuses of tough headwinds, natural disasters, high oil prices, local budget cuts, Greece, locusts, I stubbed my toe, you know. He never explicitly said, I inherited this mess, which has kind of been the traditional, I think it's actually stitched on throw pillows at the White House, in the Oval Office. But he did talk about, oh, how much ground they had to make up in the troubles that happened before he took office. So we're still hearing a vein of, this isn't my fault. One of the things I really enjoyed spotlighting this morning was a comment from Obama on February 1st, 2009, where he said, look, if I don't have this solved in 3 years, this is going to be a one-term proposition. And I think he was more right than he may know. And now the argument of the Obama administration is to say, oh, no, it's completely unreasonable to expect an economic recovery to kick in within 3 years.
Yeah, if the results don't match what you want, just change the expectations, I guess, is the rule of thumb. And not just at this White House, obviously, it's rampant throughout politics. But back to the debt ceiling for martini number three now. And there have been reports certainly earlier this week and maybe even a little bit before that about options available to the president in case the Republican House in particular, but Congress in general, did not find a way to agree with him on the ways to put together a plan to raise the debt ceiling. And given what has been said over the past couple of days, it looks like there probably will be an agreement before then. But one of the things that were being discussed was the president exercising the 14th Amendment to the Constitution and essentially doing an end around Congress and just ignoring the debt limit on his own. That has not been received well at all. Here's a South Carolina freshman Congressman Tim Scott at a town hall meeting not too long ago.
This president is looking for a way to usurp congressional oversight. To find a way to get it done without us. My position is that is an impeachable act.
And I think some other people would agree with that. It appears that that will not be an avenue, probably because of the fact that this idea has been floated out there and it was about a lead balloon that got shot down right away. Geithner and the administration have both said that that's probably not going to be an option, even if Congress doesn't come through. But just the fact that they were looking to do that in the same time that we're having this whole flap over the War Powers Act in Libya suggests that, once again, the reverence for the Constitution among these folks isn't exactly at an apex.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I looked at that and my first thought was, wait, that can't be, you know, that interpretation of the Constitution has got to be something from, you know, space aliens or something like that, because
all spending has to come from the House. And then I look back and I said that it was all revenue bills have to come from the House and the Constitution. I suppose you could argue that making sure stuff gets paid, you know, borrowing isn't technically revenue. I'm not sure if I necessarily agree with that interpretation, but the idea that, you know, the Constitution requires us to keep spending money, the Constitution requires us to keep borrowing money, is such a bizarre and otherworldly assessment of how this should work out. The idea that that not borrowing more money would be unconstitutional indicates that the Constitution is now something I just don't recognize anymore. And I think most Americans wouldn't recognize that at all. It sounds like the Obama administration is not really eager to embrace this move. I think they realize that on top of the War Powers Act, on top of the possibility of Obamacare being declared unconstitutional, on top of the appointment of czars, there really is a strong narrative of a lawless administration that makes up the rules as it goes along and does not feel the need to recognize the Constitution. That basically, if they deem it optional. So I think they recognize the trouble they get into there. I don't know if it necessarily would lead to impeachment, as Scott recommends or appears to suggest there. Having said that, the idea of I'm not going to let you reduce spending, I'm going to keep borrowing despite the fact that Congress hasn't authorized me to do this. Boy, you know, I almost want to see Obama try something like that, just to see what kind of reaction it gets from the American public. Because I look at these circumstances and of Obama having a approval rating that's not as good as he may hope. You know, if you look at the Gallup tracking poll, considering how lousy this economy is, you kind of figure he'd be lower. And I wonder if a stunt like that might really, you know, make the bottom fall out of his poll numbers, or whether he's, you know, destined to head into 2012 with, you know, approval rating in the, you know, mid 40s and close to 50-50 and, you know, doing okay, all things considering the terrible circumstances he's in.
Yeah, and the whole thing would have been based on a canard because, of course, the text there is talking about honoring our debt commitments, but we've got enough revenue to handle the debt at least for quite a while. Would there be some serious spending reductions needed elsewhere? So I think they saw the handwriting on the wall there as well as the public opinion. So at least they're rational enough to understand that that's a really stupid road to go down. But the fact that it was even on the table at one point is pretty darn scary. Jim, on that cheery note, have a wonderful weekend of watching secret debt negotiations over at the White House, and we'll talk to you again on Monday.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, and please do join us Monday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.